Good day, everyone. How are you doing, my lovely friends? Thank you all for clicking on the link to listen to my podcast. I hope the year has been amazing. It has been beautiful for you. Yes, it has been for me as well. And I am so happy we are all here together. God bless you for always showing me love, for always supporting me by clicking on the link to listen to my podcast whenever I drop one. I am so elated and I am not taking your support for granted. Thank you very much. Thank you. I am grateful. And also, if you're new here and you're just joining me, please feel free to scroll and listen to my previous podcast. I bet you're going to gain maximum value. And thank you all for so many of you who have been engaging on my previous podcast. Thank you for always encouraging me. Thank you. I've been getting your reviews. It's been amazing. God bless you all.
Welcome to the Eagles Special Podcast with Nazem Eagle. The Eagles Podcast, restructuring your mindset for a better you. Don't touch the dial.
Okay, so welcome back. So today I will be sharing my experience in marriage in this 1 year and few days. Okay, I got married on the 29th and the 30th of December 2021, and believe me, it's been so amazing. Yes, that is 1 year and a few days today. It's been all beautiful, and it's been an amazing journey with my darling husband and my crown. It's been all shades of amazing, believe me. There has been times of challenges as well, but we keep conquering. Yes, we keep conquering. My reason for sharing this is to educate and to encourage you as a single that is planning to spend your life with your Prince Charming one day. So I'm just here to encourage you and to educate you. I am sure you're going to gain something valuable at the end of this. Even if it's just one thing you pick, I'm okay. Okay, so let's get down to business. Marriage is a beautiful thing, like we all know. And there are some reasons why God instituted marriage. There is a reason for companionship, for procreation, for fulfillment of purpose, and so many other reasons you might add to this list. So it's a beautiful thing. Now, that doesn't mean that if you choose not to get married, that is wrong. No, some people just on their own, they decide not to get married. But if it's God's plan for you to get married, please do so. Okay, so during my single years, I read a whole lot of books, marriage books, so many books, not just on marriage but other aspects of life. But I was also paying attention to this aspect, so I attended seminars, I attended conferences, I listened to messages on building a successful home, a successful marriage, being a good wife. I read some of those things. In fact, I was loaded for my mind. I was well prepared for this journey. Oh, that was my thoughts. My mind, I was like, my marriage must never fail. Even before I met my husband, that was my mindset, because I was well loaded. I was prepared for it. And most importantly, I didn't also forget to always pray concerning this journey. As I was praying for other aspects of my life, I was always praying for this journey. My parents' marriage was a very beautiful one, very, very beautiful and amazing, and amazing. And then I always wished mine would be like theirs. I desired to have the kind of marriage they had. But I also felt to understand something, that before their marriage became that sweet, that they passed through some rigorous processes before it became that beautiful, before it became that successful like it was then, they passed through challenges and they passed through so many tests. Do you understand? Which are some of the bedrocks of a successful marriage. And then so I saw so many marriages, even in church, going down the drain, crashing, divorce cases here and there. And then some people would not just want to divorce so that people would not mock them. They would decide to sit back into the marriage and then endure for the rest of their lives. I knew it was just God. It's just God that can help two individuals build their marriage, and no one else can help them except God. So each time I prayed during my single days, I do not hesitate to pray about that aspect of my life. And my prayers then were majorly, Lord, my home must stand, my marriage must work, I and my husband must walk in understanding, in unity, in love. We will allow Jesus to be the captain of our boat. The Lord will be enthroned in our future home, in our marriage. These are more were some prayers I was making then. And I remember sometime in 2020, one of our sisters on Facebook then, Victoria Chiwendo, she recently got married a few months ago. She organized this 21-day program for single sisters, and it was titled Praying for Your Future Husband. I kicked into that program, yes I did, and we really interceded for our future marriage, for our future husbands, and we prayed about other aspects of our lives. We prayed for ourselves too. And then one thing about prayers is that sometimes when you are making it, you feel it's not being answered because maybe you are not seeing the reality at that instance, but you don't know God is working out something for you, something beautiful and amazing, because prayer is a seed. Yes, it is a seed. You don't just sow that seed and you expect it to germinate immediately. It takes time. It's a process. So some of those prayers we prayed then, we are reaping it now. Hallelujah. So after the prayers, I didn't just relax. I didn't just I went about my normal duties. The work I was doing then, I was just doing my work, focusing on other aspects of my life. And sometimes it's also good to be sensitive and discerning after making some prayers, because the devil might try to maneuver his way. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Sometimes after making prayers, such like the one we made then, the enemy came. In fact, he came. He brought in so many people, some brothers who came as though they were the one, you get, but they were not. So it also required single sisters out there, my ladies, please try to be sensitive and discerning. It is very, very important to be sensitive and discerning, even as you're praying. Some people will say when you close one eye when praying, you open the other eye and you look. Be very sensitive and discerning. Watch well before you leap, because the devil can come in disguise to confuse you so you could fall into his trap. I remember so many brothers that looked like it, they came, but thank God who searches the heart and who sees our end even from the beginning. It wasn't just working out. They'll just come and go. It wasn't just working out till 2021 when the right one finally came. Hallelujah. And then during the period of waiting, I just forgot to say this, it is also important, very important as a sister, that you get yourself busy with God's work and with something doing for yourself too. Don't just be lazy and complacent and then just lazy around and wait for manna to fall from the sky. Do something meaningful and reasonable with your time, with your life, especially if you're a graduate and job is not forthcoming. Do something meaningful with your time to avoid being a liability in future. Okay, so I met my husband, and after a few months we got married. The way God arranged it, we didn't even cut for a very long time, just a few months, and then we walked down the aisle. Maybe in my subsequent podcast, I will be dropping the proposal, how he proposed, how I met him, how he proposed, the conventions, the courtship period, the experiences I had, the marriage preparations, the honeymoon, everything. I will be dropping it in my subsequent podcast. Okay, so after the whole stress of the wedding, the honeymoon and everything, marriage began. And then the realities set in. Believe me when I said the realities set in. Yes, they set in. The truth is, no matter the butterflies in your tummy, the feelings, the love you feel for this man, for this woman, whoever you marry, it is not always rosy. Yes, that love, that feeling is not always enough. There is a work you yourself need to do. It's not always rosy. There are times misunderstandings, issues, challenges, crisis, setting. Of course, definitely, there are times this setting. And some of this happen to tell you, you two are still humans. And besides, you're not from the same parents. You were not raised by the same parents. You were not raised the same way. You are not from the same family. You're not from the same geographical location. You might be, but you're not from the same family. That is just it. You are not even the same sex. You are two opposite sex. So there must be clashes. You two are different people and you reason differently. Okay, so the first challenge I had, you want to hear it? Okay, stay tuned. I will be back. Alright, welcome back. So firstly, listen to this. If you are a young lady, if you're still single or maybe you're married, and then you have this problem of high tone, or should I call it an authoritative tone, you do not know how to talk gently to people, please start learning it. It is very, very important. I had that issue when I got married newly, because being the first child of my parents, I had siblings under me. And then when they misbehaved, I usually shout at them or use this high tone, this authoritative tone, to tell them what they did was wrong. And then getting into marriage with this kind of mindset, it was not as though I was talking to my husband the way I was talking to my siblings. But sometimes when I'm annoyed or when he does something wrong, I tend to use this harsh tone. I tend to use this authoritative tone, this command tone, and it doesn't really speak well of you as a young lady. It really almost affected me when I got married. But thank God for my husband. Yes, he understood. He understood, and then he stood by me. He counseled me. He prayed with me, and then he helped me work on it. Yes, and today I'm better. It's not as though I'm perfectly better, but at least I'm not where I used to be. So please work on this aspect if you are a young lady. But the fact that some men might be quiet about it, but it doesn't still make it right. Okay, it doesn't still make it right. So check this out, and then begin to work on it. There is a way you pass a message to someone whenever you are offended. You mustn't shout, you mustn't speak harshly, you mustn't speak rudely. Yes, so this time around, when my husband offends me, I try to look for a better atmosphere. I'm still learning this one. And then I try to also look for good words to use, no matter how angry I am. I don't use harsh words. I don't talk to him as though I'm his older sister. Understand, he's my husband, he's my head, he's my crown. And then I also try to use words that wouldn't be demeaning. I don't know if you understand what I mean. Gently, men hate it when they are shouted at. I don't know about your own man for the married, but I know that majority of men I've come across, they don't like it when you shout at them, when you talk rudely at them. They love to be respected. Yes, and then I've learned something, that when I talk to my husband gently with respect about something that I didn't like that he did, it works more better. In fact, he assimilates, he understands it, and he promises to change over that matter than when I become aggressive, or I talk to him anyhow, or I'm rude about it. So this 1 year and few weeks in marriage has taught me that I don't shout at my husband, even when he offends me, or he does something wrong. I should just look for a means to talk to him gently, approach him in a gentle manner, and not shout and bring the whole house roof down. So this was one of the things that affected me, one of the experiences I had when I got married. But thank God today I am better. Yes, I am better. Okay, so the next one I want to talk about is on extravagancy. So check this out, sister, if you are an extravagant type, or should I say a heavy spender. If you're a heavy spender, please start working on it. My mom usually says something. She says women are meant to save more. than the men. This is another major issue in marriage if not handled well. Sometimes it can be the man, other times it can be the woman who is a heavy spender or an extravagant person. So a woman is a woman that keeps her home. Yes, is a woman that keeps her home. You are meant to be the one who saves more. Yes, you are meant to be the one who saves more. I was more extravagant than my husband. He knows how to save. He's more of an economist. I don't. Yes, so getting married to him, he started curtailing my spending habits. And majority of what I spend my money on is junk. Yes, I'm this kind of person. I can't stay a whole week. I won't eat good meals. I will just be buying junk. It's either I buy biscuits, buy meat pie, buy Coca-Cola, buy this one. Just all those rubbish food. And that is where my money, majority of the money I usually hold in my hands, where it usually goes to. I'm not really proud of it, though I tried my best stopping it, but when you already addicted to something, because it's like when I was in school, yes, I can stay a whole week, I won't cook, I'll just be taking junk foods. Yes, so it got to an extent when I got married, my husband had to start stopping that lifestyle. Yes, he started stopping it in the sense that I must eat the available food in the house. There is no room for going out to go and buy Coca-Cola or to go and buy meat pie. Even though I'm a baker, I bake, but you must eat what is in the house. You must eat what is in the house. And it helped me. I'm fresher today. I save more. Yes, because when you are eating fresh food, it's more better. It's good for your health than when you go out there to always get junk to eat and the rest. So I'm really happy of this particular change. I'm really happy for this particular change rather. I'm really happy I'm getting better in that aspect. At least I can have money in my hands and it can stay a whole week and then I'll be saving. Yes, then going out, I'll buy this. Oh my God, such lifestyle. I'm just grateful to God that that lifestyle is being curtailed today. Yes, today I'm not where I used to be again, courtesy of the man I married, and God also. I'm so grateful. Yes, so watch this out as a single lady. Start curtailing your spending habits. Some of us is not on junk or what we eat, is on fashion and the rest. Please try to curtail. Try, even if you must spend, make sure you still have something left even after spending. Don't just spend the whole of your money, empty your account because of you want to look good or something. It's good to look good, it's good to take care of yourself, it's good to eat whatever you want to eat, but please remember to save for the rainy day. Yes, so this was one challenge I had when I got married, but today, thank God, it's been taken care of. Okay, the next one is watch out if you nag or find faults all the time. The truth is, no man wants to be with a nagging woman. A woman should be loving. A woman should be accommodating. Yes, but the fact that you got married to a Christian doesn't mean he's an angel. He will step on your toes. Yes, sometimes he will step on your toes. You need to learn to endure and overlook some minor faults. And if the issue is something you two have to talk about, please talk about it. Talk about it. But if there is no improvement after talking about it, please resort to prayers. You don't need to nag your husband. My mother in the Lord, one of the days she was talking to me, she said, you don't need to nag your husband. Tell it all to God. Talk to God about it. Go on your knees, report him to God. Tell the Lord some of the things he does you do not like. Allow God to be the one to change him. You can't change a man. That's just the truth. It's only God that can change a man. So eventually, if you're married, or if you are about to get married and there is something about your man that you do not really like, and you've talked and talked, the truth is you can't just find a perfect person. There is no man who is perfect. There is no woman who is also perfect. So let's make do with somebody you know you can tolerate his or her excesses. You understand what I mean? And then moving with the person, and with the help of God, through counseling, through prayers, and through talking to the person, and then God can work on that person and you begin to see the change that you desire. So, and also learn how to prepare delicious meals. I'm this kind of person, like I said previously, I love to cook. I cook varieties. I can cook well. Yes, nobody can cheat me in cooking. I know how to cut my onions very well. Yes, I know how to grind my pepper very well. I know how to do every stuff in the kitchen. I feel so lazy cooking. And then getting married, you must cook. Yes, because your husband needs food. He definitely needs food. In fact, let me tell you the truth. One of the reasons why men get married is because they need somebody that will be cooking for them. Don't say I said though, but that is just it. You know, they usually say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So men love food a lot, so you need to cook. If you have fridge, you need to cook and stock the fridge with food. Your husband needs food. So this one is not a matter of I'm tired. I don't have strength to enter into that kitchen. Except you are truly, truly tired, and you are sick, or you are not really in a good condition to enter into the kitchen. The man can be of help, but on other days where you are okay and you're stable, you need to prepare food for your husband to eat. Yes, and you need to take care of your body, take care of yourself. Even as a single that is about to get married, you need to take care of yourself, you need to take care of your body, you need to look good, you need to learn how to be hygienic, you need to learn proper hygiene. Yes, so and so many other things. Another challenge I had when I got married was you want to hear it? All right, I'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. Now, the final thing I want to talk about is unsettling conflicts. Another experience I want to share with us is on conflict resolution. As a single, learn how to resolve conflicts. Yes, even as a married, conflicts must surely come up in your marriage, but you need to learn how to resolve them amicably. You see, I have this temperament that when I'm not happy about something or when I'm offended, I tend to call back to my shell and then wait for my offender to come and apologize. You understand? So getting married and being in marriage, my husband is a peacemaker type. Yes, if he sees that I'm not happy, the next thing, what did I do? Oh, yeah, sorry. He always tried to apologize. And then I almost took advantage of that fact, because he always apologizes. And then a few months into the marriage, I thought this was not really good. Yes, you have to take responsibility for your actions. When you hurt someone, try to apologize to the person. He mustn't only be the one to apologize. Yes, you know, we women, we usually think anyways, men should always be the ones apologizing. No, as a Christian and as a woman who wants to build her home, when you offend your husband, try to apologize and do not claim rights. Yes, so I started learning that aspect, that when my husband offends me, he apologizes. So what's wrong with me offending him and apologizing? There is no big deal, because you love him and you truly want to build this marriage with him. You should learn to be accountability for your actions, take responsibilities for your actions. Yes, so he started helping me, and then instead of coiling back to my shell and then making the atmosphere being very toxic, I try to call him to order, and he also tries to call me to order. Look at this aspect. I didn't like it, then he apologizes, and then I apologize too, and then life continue. So learn the act of conflict resolution. It is very, very important for you as a woman to learn the act of conflict resolution. No, men don't talk too much. Sometimes they might not be in the mood to talk. It is left for you to know when the mood is lighter, and then bring up the issue you feel is not going down well with you, and then you allow peace take its course. Differences must play out. Conflicts must surely come up, especially in the early years of marriage. My mentor usually say this is marriage, because she usually say in marriage that within the first few years of the couple living together, there tends to be this friction because they're still getting to learn themselves. They're still getting to learn each other to an extent. It won't be easy, so conflicts must come up. But the most important thing is, in all, try to make your spouse your best friend after Christ. Try to make your husband your friend. Try to make your wife your friend. Try to make your spouse your best friend after Christ. You shouldn't carry your spouse to people outside. Yes, try curtailing it, no matter the offense. Yes, and then do not try to also bring in your families, your extended families into your home issues. Yes, do not try to do that. Try to resolve your issues amicably. Try to resolve your issues amicably. That is one thing I have learned in marriage. Do not try to take your issues to the third party. Try to resolve it amicably, except when it becomes too big that you cannot handle. Then you talk to a trusted believer, an elder that can counsel you in that line or in that direction. You understand what I mean? But these are some of the things that has helped me overcome some challenges in this 1 year and a few weeks in marriage.
Okay, this is where I'm going to be drawing the curtain on this episode. Thank you all so much for engaging. I bet you got value. Yes, please feel free to slide into my DM and drop your reviews. Feel free to also share to your loved ones, especially the young ladies out there, to be a blessing to them. Thank you all so much for your constant support here on this platform. I am not taking your support for granted. It's amazing. Thank you all so much, and may God bless you till I come your way again on my next episode. Have a blessed day. I love you all. Bye.